Lord God, I do not want to lean on my own understanding this morning, God, but I simply want to trust in you with my whole heart. That, Lord, even this time together, this message, that we submit it to you, God. We submit our attention and our hearts to you in this moment, God. That you might have your way in this place, in this moment and in this time. Lord God, as we've heard, you are the one who has the character of wisdom, that wisdom flows from who you are in this world, God. So I know that today, when we understand more about wisdom, we will know you better. Lord God, may we know you better this morning, God. Lord God, may you help us to be wise in everything that we say and everything that we do. For we lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So wisdom. So let's recap a little bit, right? What is wisdom? That's the question that we have today. From a biblical perspective, from the book of Proverbs, what is wisdom? So here's the first thing they talked about. It's being good at life. It's not just intelligence. A wise person, according to God, is not just someone who's smart, who gets A's on all the tests, although that certainly is a part of it, because, you know, theoretically those things make you better at what you're actually doing in life. But being wise means you're really good at life. Like, you know how to make life work. Like, you're the kind of person that not just with your intellect, but in your relationships, in the way that you deal with things, in the kind of people that you bring around you, just in your ability to do life well. It's being good at making life good, not just for yourself, but for your family, for those around you. It's the people who are wise who can make life better for other people in the community, people who can make life better for their families, even for countries, people that are just good at life. They seem to have an ability to get into the flow and the rhythm of life. In fact, the word, as it said in the video in Hebrew, is a skilled artisan. A skilled artisan is someone who is wise. You know, so we have wise people in ways that we don't even think about, right? My friend Donna is a wise cook. She is so skilled at food. They would say of Donna, she is wise. That is a wise woman because she knows how to make a meal work. Amen? Amen. She knows how to make a gathering around a meal work really, really well. And you would say that she is wise. So if you're skilled at doing something, Larry makes the wisest cupcakes that I've ever tasted in the city of Hartford. I mean, there's just a wisdom in that. John and Paul are wise. There was wisdom, wasn't there? Amen? Amen? There was wisdom coming out. Because they knew how to make the instrument sound, and they knew how to blend it in with the wise voices. You understand what I'm saying? Wisdom, then, we got to lift our idea of wisdom. It's not just about being smart intellectually, but it's about someone who's very skilled at what they do. In fact, you would say Cristiano Ronaldo is a wise soccer player. Amen? Amen? And it's always good to have Cristiano Ronaldo in your sermon, no matter where you are, right? He just won the FIFA Player of the Year award, right? But if you watch him play soccer, the Hebrews would say there's a wisdom to the way that he plays soccer. It's general principles that work most of the time. And here's the most important part, right? They're general principles that work most of the time. What does that mean? They don't work all the time. Because while Proverbs says that if you follow these principles, you will have a good life and a good name and favor with God and man, you have to read Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes says sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes even though you're good, you get attacked. Sometimes even though you're rotten, you appear to succeed. But what we forget is that our sense of time is in God's sense of time. So we're looking at a snapshot of a moment. But wisdom is honestly looking at life and saying, you know, these things work most of the time, but some of the time, they don't work. But we do understand that they are general principles for our life. And I think we need to understand that looking at Proverbs. And it leads into this last point, that timing is everything. Being wise is not just knowing what to say and what to do, but knowing when to say it and knowing how to say it and understanding the situation that you're in. I want to give you a couple of examples that taught this to me at a young age. How many of you know that sometimes some of the best things you learn when you're young, right? Amen? Sometimes you learn the best things when you're young, if you'll just remember them. So, when I was in junior high, I had a great coach. His name was Bruce Backenstone. We called him Coach B. And because we were in a small school, he coached everything. He coached basketball, and he coached soccer, and he coached track, and he was our gym coach and our PE coach, right? And so he just did everything, and I just really loved this guy. He was a wise teacher. He taught us a lot of things. I was at a Christian school. He was our Bible teacher as well. So he was also the one who taught us about the Bible and unpacked that for us. But we were doing one time in junior high, this was like 8th or 9th grade, we were doing a section in gym. You guys know what I'm talking about? The sections in gym where you get to do different things. And that's what I love about gym, because sometimes, right, you could be playing ping pong, sometimes you could be swimming, sometimes you could be doing aerobics. I mean, it didn't matter, whatever. So it was the springtime, I remember, and we were outside and the weather was nice, and we were going to do softball, you know, because, you know, I guess he didn't want to do baseball. We were going to do softball because it was easier. And we were out there, you know, learning, playing softball. And I loved playing soccer, and I loved playing basketball in junior high. I mean, those were my heydays, the junior high days, you know, when people were still shorter than me. Praise God. Those were the days I loved to play sports. I loved it so much. But baseball, I could never get the hang of. I just, for some reason, I tried to swing it and it just wasn't working. I was getting frustrated. I'm like, man, I don't understand this, you know. And so I got this idea that I knew better than, you know, he did. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm batting from the wrong side. Maybe I'm not bad right. I should bat left-handed, right? So I should try that, you know? And I'm doing that, and my coach is just shaking his head at me. He's like, what is that boy doing? And I'm telling him, I'm like, look, I'm going to bat this way, because you see, coach, it's going to be better. And I hit one. I actually hit a ball, and I said, see, it worked. And he told me something I'll never forget. He said, well, Phil, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. And I've never forgotten that even a blind squirrel will find an acorn once in a while. I don't know if that squirrel's blind. I think he's just closing his eyes, you know, but God bless him. That's a picture of a blind squirrel. The blind squirrel. So I thought about this, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that kind of describes the wisdom that I'm talking about, right? Because just because something works for me once, right, doesn't mean I should keep doing it. Uh-oh, somebody need to hear that. Just because it worked one time doesn't mean it's what God wants you to do. Amen. How many people are like, well, it worked. Well, that doesn't mean it's what you're supposed to do. Because it may not work all of the time, and it certainly won't work most of the time. If I'd continued to bat left-handed, I don't think that I would have hit very much at all. Right? But if I learned the process of what it really meant, then maybe I would get a little better, right? And I think that that's actually a good example, a good symbol or image of life, right? Is baseball, as we're watching the World Series right now, right? Because in baseball, you need to learn how to do everything right, okay? And even if I was like this professional player and suddenly I learned how to do everything right, okay? And I stopped trying to bat left-handed, where I was going to hit one out of every 1,000 hits. And I started to bat right-handed, and I learned and worked my way up and had all of the skills and everything. How often do they hit the ball? The best ones hit it how often? 30% of the time? No, 30%. You know, 3 out of 10. So most of the time, they're missing. Even though they're wise, even though they know what works most of the time, what generally works, it still is not what's... You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we give up on things of God. Sometimes we give up because we feel like it's not working. But try it without God and it'll work even less. And also, sometimes you got to stick with it, right? The best hitters, no matter how many times they strike out, no matter how many times they miss, they stand in there because they know what the right thing is to do. And they wait for that moment, and they keep swinging, and they keep swinging. You want to know one of the biggest lies of the enemy? Is the enemy tells you it won't work because he's trying to get you to stop before it does.
Amen.
He knows that if you just kept doing it a little bit longer, you would get your breakthrough. You would see it work. You would see it start to pay off. But he comes to you and he says, oh, it's not going to work. God's way is not going to work. And his lie convinces you and you quit.
Yeah,
you quit before you get to that point.
Right.
Wisdom is about knowing the things that work. But it's also about understanding timing. And it's also about understanding the situation that you are in. So I think there's three questions that we need to ask ourselves when we're trying to decide what is the wise thing to do, what is the right thing to do. Well, one, we need to know what to do. What should we do? What is the wise thing to do? What does God tell us that we should do, regardless of the results? What is God telling us to do? But then two, what is the right timing of it, right? The right timing of it, because you could say or do the right thing and it could be at the wrong time. And it's not going to work out for you. Timing is very crucial. You need to understand. I mean, I can know how to swing, but I need to know when to swing as well. And then the other thing, the third thing that we forget about, I think most often, is the situation that we are in. We need to understand the situation we're in. So again, to continue taking this baseball image way too far, you need to know, right, when to hit and when not to hit and when to bunt and when to walk. And you need to understand the situation of the whole game that you're in, even though you know what to do, right? So some of you are gifted. You have this skill. You have this area of wisdom. And you know what's right to do. But you need to understand. You need to understand the right timing of it. Right? You need to understand the setting and the situation that you're in so that you can truly understand what it means to be wise. So that you can truly understand. It's not just knowing the right thing, but it's knowing when to do it. And it's knowing the situation. And it's taking into account all of those factors, okay? I want to give you another example. I want to break it down really simple this morning, all right? Are you with me, kids? Are you with me right now? I want to tell you something, kids, that you are missing from your life because they don't allow them to exist. How many of you remember going to the playground, right? How many of you love going to the playground, right? When you're my age, you remember this thing called a merry-go-round. I know you guys don't have that anymore because it's dangerous, so they don't let you have it anymore, right? But we had this thing that spun around really fast, okay? And I know they don't have those anymore, but what we would do is not just get on it and have someone push us. They would start spinning it, right? And we would try to jump onto that thing, right? Now you know why they don't have these anymore, right? Because they were so dangerous. I mean, think about it. Here's this toy, this thing that's designed from a physics point of view to throw you off of it. Am I right? I mean, with something spinning around, the design of it is to throw you off. And we're trying to jump onto it, right? Okay? So they had these metal bars. Do you remember those with the metal bars that you would hang on to? You could stand on the outside and you'd be like thrown to the out. Or you could stand on the inside and try to hold on. Sometimes there was a bar going down in the middle, right? And if that thing's spinning fast, remember, whoever tried to walk to the middle, come on, anybody with me? Anybody trying to walk? Ah, here we go. Trying to walk to the middle of that thing and you're getting all dizzy, right? But the most fun I thought was trying to jump on that thing while it was spinning. And you would get the biggest kid, and they'd just be foom, 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 and they'd be getting this thing faster and faster, and you'd be watching it, right? So I knew what to do. I got to jump and grab on, right? Okay? I needed to know when to do it. Timing was everything, right? Because if I didn't time it right, what was going to happen? Not good things. Not good things at all, all right? So I've been watching, and I try to pick out one thing I was going to jump onto, and I'm trying to watch it go around. I'm like, okay, I got it. And I remember this day clear as if it was yesterday. I was at the park, and my cousin, because he was older, he was spinning it super fast, and everybody was like, oh, man, your cousin, he's awesome, man. He can spin it so fast. I'm like, yeah, watch, I can jump on. And I'm watching the kid jump on, they spin up. I'm like, whoa. I'm watching the kid, poof. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it because I know what to do and I know when to do it and I'm going to get it, okay? What I failed to take into account was that third question, the situation surrounding what I was in. It had just rained the night before, like really hard. The ground was muddy all around this, okay? There was a huge puddle in the ditch that was around the thing. So I'm watching it, and I know what to do, and I'm ready, and I've done it before. I'm ready, and I jump on it. I grab on. I timed it just right. I grabbed onto the thing. But as I grabbed onto the thing, my foot didn't get on it, and it dragged me through the mud, and spraying mud and stuff everywhere, and I was like, oh, man. And everybody, just like you, was laughing hysterically. They thought it was the funniest thing that they had ever seen. And I had failed to be wise in that instance, right? Because I would have walked to the other side where there wasn't the puddle. And I would have tried to jump on from there, right? So three things we need to ask ourselves regarding wisdom. What is the right thing to do? Right? What is the right thing to do? What is the right time? What, it might be an issue of timing. And again, if you're doing the right thing and it's not working, maybe it's a matter of sticking with it until it works. The third thing is very important. It's the situation. Sometimes you change what you do, honestly, based on the situation. You know, God sometimes calls us to do things in one situation. Don't answer that fool because it's not worth it. But in another situation, he says, answer that fool because this time you're going to be able to correct them. You're going to be able to understand them. So understanding the wisdom of God is knowing what to do, when to do it, and understanding the situation around you that you're in. So let's go back to Proverbs. The wise writer of Proverbs. Many Proverbs are attributed to King Solomon. Many were written by other people as well. But there were sayings that were collected. And even if Solomon, you know, said it, he didn't maybe necessarily come up with it. He might have collected it from somewhere else. But the one who's speaking in Proverbs is this lady wisdom that you saw in there. So whoever the human speaker was, they believed that they were speaking for the wisdom that God had created that exists in the world, right? So this is wisdom. Wisdom is like calling out to people, saying, here I am, I'm available, you can be wise. And one of the first things lady wisdom says, you know, the character of God, that God himself says to us, is let love and faithfulness be bound around your neck. Let love and faithfulness be written on the tablets of your heart. Because there are some things that you put in place because they're right and good all the time. And love and faithfulness are right and good all the time. So while the specifics of it may change based on the situation and the time, and I know that in every situation I should be thinking about what is the most loving thing to do and what is the most faithful thing that I can do, right? And it reminds us of what's important in life, and that's relationships, amen? Sometimes the wisdom we're looking for is just, oh, what job should I have? What should I do? Should I turn left or should I turn right? You know, those are part of life. There's nothing wrong with those. But sometimes people in the pursuit of their goals or their career or something else have forgotten that relationships are important. That how we treat people, no matter what we do, is important. Right? That to care for each other. That sometimes we're making a difficult decision about our family, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I know a lot of people are facing difficult decisions. Maybe with your parents, maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's with someone else in your family, right? And you're seeking God's wisdom. And I believe that God is saying to us, let love and faithfulness be bound around your neck. Let those always be the things that guide you. Let those be the things that never leave you, even if they don't work, because there will be problems in relationships. Even if you say, well, I tried love and faithfulness and it just blew up in my face and here I am without it. God is saying, keep it. Keep the love. Keep the faithfulness, right? Because of this, because God is loving and faithful to us.
Amen.
And that's the one that I keep around my neck, right? Because I know that I'll make mistakes and I know that I'll fail. But the love and faithfulness of God is something that God binds around my neck, that he writes on the tablet of my heart, that I can trust. If I'm going to trust in God, I need to trust in his love and in his faithfulness, right? Those two things I need to believe in with all of my heart if I'm going to make it through this life. Because I want to be loving and I want to be faithful, but I don't do it all the time, to be honest. But if I bind them around my neck and write them on my heart, they remind me of something, right? So I was thinking about these two rings that I have on my left hand. And one, of course, is my wedding ring. And it's a symbol. It reminds you of love, right? And again, we know all too well that love doesn't always work. You know? And I may feel one day that I have to take that off, right? But that's, it reminds me that there's a love that God binds around my neck. That God will never leave me. And I have to trust in that when I can't trust in anything else.
Amen.
The second ring people ask me about is just there because I really can't take it off anymore. It's a ring that I got when I was in Africa. And when I was visiting this country in Africa, it was a particular country where you were allowed to have up to 4 wives. So they had a little bit different view than we do of things. And, you know, someone could be legally married at age 11. So that was another strange thing. And when I told people that when I'm walking in that land, they would be like, oh, are you married? Yes, I'm married. How many wives do you have? And I would say, I have just one. And every single person asked me, why?
Why?
Why? Because Jenny don't play that. Amen. I'll tell you, because Jenny don't play that, right? Because one is enough. We have a hard time getting one relationship right in our life. You know, I mean to do that. But it was just a difference in things. And it stuck on my finger. But it reminds me, you know, that I'm committed to walk a path of faithfulness that's not easy. And it's hard. And not everyone understands that. And again, I may fail at it, to be honest. I'm trying to be real here. I'm trying to say, yes, I maintain a commitment to love and faithfulness. But I also know, because I know life, and I know some of your stories, and you know some of mine, it's hard. We've messed up, and other people have messed up. And love and faithfulness has been broken. And again, just because it didn't work one time, we say, well, then that's never going to work. It's the opposite of what we say. Well, it worked one time. Maybe it'll work again. But the other lie is that, you know what? It didn't work. I could be swinging that bat and be like, man, I missed 7 times, coach. And he's like, you know what? But maybe the 8th or the 9th time it'll work. I don't know. What I do know is that God's love and God's faithfulness binds me to him. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the message of hope I want to bring to each and every one. If you listen to the message of hope, God's love and faithfulness is always with you. God understands that. God, when the Bible says bind love and faithfulness around your neck, it's saying take God's love and faithfulness, right? Let that be your first relationship. Let that be the primary thing in your life. And without God, I am nothing, right? Without God, I am nothing. But with God, I have everything. Amen? Without God, I am nothing. But with God, I have everything. And sometimes when it's just me and God, those are the most powerful times in our life. I'm telling you, if you're hurting this morning, hang on, because God wants to do something new in your life. The Lord sits on the throne. I read this verse this morning. The Lord sits on his throne and says, behold, I make all things new. And if Jesus is the king this morning, and I believe he is, if he's still on the throne, and I believe he is, then he's making all things new. He's making all things new. He's taking broken hearts and he's making them new. He's taking broken lives and he's restoring them. He's taking shattered dreams and he's piecing them back together. Amen. He's taking frustrations and he's saying, listen, I can handle it. I can do this with you. You don't have to be alone. We can walk this path together. And so what I'm challenging you to do this morning is to trust in God with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Trust in not yourself, but God. Not in someone else, but in God. Trusting God with all your heart. God loves you and God is faithful to you. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe this? Because so many people will sit here and say, amen, amen, I believe it. But is it a change in your life? Is it affecting your life? In what ways does your life show that you believe that God loves you? That you believe that God is faithful to you, that God is for you, God is not against you, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, because his presence will always be with you. Because it's a commitment that God makes, right? And God makes that commitment based on himself. It's not based on you. Do you understand that? Can I share something real quick? Can I give you something extra real quick? And I apologize for it being quick, but I'll explain it more later. God made a promise with Abraham. We talked a little bit about that, right? He made a promise with Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. A covenant is like a marriage agreement. He made an agreement with Abraham, binding him. And when they made agreements back in those days, what they'd do is they'd take some animals and they'd cut them up for the sacrifice, and they'd lay them out, right? And each person would walk through as a sign that they were making this commitment, right? So Abraham gets all of the animals, cuts them in half, lines them up, and he's getting ready to make this commitment with God. And do you know what happened? Does anybody know what happened? A flaming pot of fire appeared out of nowhere and passed through by itself. Meaning God said, I'm making this commitment on me.
That's right.
I'm not even asking you to make this commitment. Abraham, you're not walking through this because the commitment is based on me and not on you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have a God who is faithful and loves us because of himself. And it doesn't depend on what we say or what we do. We need to trust God with our whole heart, right?
Amen.
And so many people, I'm going to shift it to another level. Maybe some of you here, maybe people you know, right? I don't trust God. I don't believe in God. I don't follow God, right? Because it doesn't work. Because that stuff doesn't work for me, right? Well, have you ever trusted God with your whole heart? Or has it been just part of your heart? Like, I'll give God a little bit. I'll give him a piece of my heart. But really, I've given my heart somewhere else. And what happens when we give our heart somewhere else? God says, let me take care of your heart.
That's right.
Give it all to me.
That's right.
Trust me with your whole heart. Believe that I love you. It was what happened when we sinned.
Yeah.
If you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, the serpent came. And what was her first thing? She first caused Eve to doubt what God said. She doubted, did God really say you can't eat from this tree? Did God really say that to you? That was his first thing, doubt what God says. Then the serpent took it to another level and said, doubt who God is. And the serpent said, oh, well, it's because God knows if you eat this fruit, you'll be like him and you'll have all of this insight and knowledge and wisdom and power. And so, in other words, God is holding out on you. So first, he caused us to doubt what God said. Then he caused us to doubt who God is. And we do the same thing today. First of all, people doubt what God says. I don't know that that's true. I don't know if the Bible's true. I don't believe what God says is true, right? But it betrays a deeper doubt that I don't think he's good. I don't think he's for me. I don't think he really loves me. I don't think he's going to be faithful to me. And wisdom says, trust God with your whole heart. Trust that he loves you and that he's faithful to you no matter what. And lean not on your own understanding, right? So many of us want to lean on our own understanding, right? We do. We do. And I'm going to say, you know, we don't have to beat ourselves up for it. It's what we do, right? Because nobody knows better than us, right? It's like I say, people do what they want to do, right? I mean, someone decides what they want to do and they're going to do it, right? We lean on our own understanding. And for better or worse, some of you do a better job of it because you're smarter than me. You do. Some of you are better at life in so many ways than me. You know, leaning on your own understanding might appear to work, but there's limits to it. You need to understand there's limits to it. And I think what Proverbs gives us sometimes is the best of divinely inspired human wisdom, but there's limits. It doesn't always work. God is still God, right? So how do we not lean on our own understanding? These things. We need to read the Bible. read or listen to it. You know, there's Bible apps, there's things you can do it, there's podcasts, there's all kinds of stuff. Wise women and men of God, you need to listen to them. Listen, I know people don't like to read, I know people don't have time anymore, but it's everywhere, it's all over the internet. There's all kinds of things that you can listen to. There's all kinds of things that you can gain wisdom from if you're willing to listen to it, right? Just get a Bible app on your phone. Mine even has a devotional. It just has a verse of the day. Sometimes all I get to is opening it up and there's the verse of the day. Okay, thank you. I'll just take that verse of the day. And sometimes that's exactly what I need to hear, right? If you guys are on social media, I'll give you a couple of things. On Instagram, there's this devotional called Pocket Fuel. It's this lady in Australia and it's beautiful and it's brilliant and it touches my heart every time I read it. Pocket Fuel, you can follow that. If you're listening to podcasts, I was just talking with Paul about Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is a great teacher that has a lot of wisdom on his podcast. Andy Stanley, Rick Warren, you know, I mean, just start listening to the wisdom of other people, right? Regularly do an evaluation report in your life, you know, understanding the situation you're in. How many of us take time to really look at our lives, right? And figure out the situation that we're in and understand, oh, well, maybe I haven't been paying attention to these things. You know, what is going to be the best thing for me to do for myself and for those around me? And then the last thing, of course, is to pray, which is just talking to God and listening to the Spirit. And again, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be some kind of structured thing. It's just you talking to God and listening to God, right? But sometimes it is a structured thing. Sometimes it's getting together with other people and praying. This is not something that we can do on our own. As long as you think you can do life on your own, you're going to be leaning on your own understanding, and you're going to stumble, and you're going to fall, and it's going to be difficult. But when you learn to let other people into your life, to let God into your life, to say, I need to surround myself with wise people, right? And some of the problem is not that you haven't surrounded yourself with anyone, but you've surrounded yourself with the wrong people, right? You've surrounded yourself with people that are not wise, with people that are leaning on their own understanding, right? And they're passing it off to you as some kind of wisdom. You need to understand what God says. And these are the only ways that I know to do that, to read or listen to God's word, to talk and listen to wise women and wise men of God, to do an evaluation of your life, to just look at it and say, what's going on? If I'm frustrated, why is my life not working? Let me look at all of the information surrounding my life and then pray about it. Talk to God. Listen to God. Listen to what he says. I mean, these are the ways that we learn to become wise. And guess what? Even if you're the wisest person, things are only going to work 30% of the time if you're a good baseball player, right? Give yourself some grace. You don't even have to make it work most of the time or 90% of the time. You simply need to get into the rhythm of what God is doing and begin to see that when it does work, it works in such a deep and rich way that you're like, wow, right? I mean, how much time does Ronaldo spend on the field without scoring a goal? A lot more than he does scoring a goal. But all of those moments lead into that beautiful moment where he scores a goal, right? And life is a lot like that. Life is a lot of just not very exciting things happening. It's a lot of doing the right things. It's a lot of struggle. It's about pain. It's about suffering. It's about working through that. But it's about being with God and saying, God, I'm going to stay with you until I see these beautiful moments where you're at work, and I begin to understand the wisdom of what you're trying to say to me. Trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh, if I can, you know, just be honest again for a moment. One of the things I've done as a pastor so often in so many ways is talk to people, you know, who are struggling. Talking to people who want, you know, to want help, want relief from what they're doing. And I get sucked into this thing where I think they're looking for advice, but sometimes they aren't really looking for advice. Because I'll say something, well, why? And then they'll tell me all the reasons why they can't do that. Okay. And yet, then they'll tell me all the reasons why they have to keep doing what they're doing, but yet what they're doing is continuing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you've been a counselor, if you talk to people, if you understand, you get kind of stuck sometimes, right? And you get stuck because you're leaning on your own understanding. And you're not allowing yourself to say, well, wait a minute, maybe I need to let something else speak to me. Maybe I need to just let God's word challenge me and work in me in a way. And I'm not saying just trust what other people say. I'm not saying just blindly follow anyone. But it's all of these things working together, right? Because this is listening to God. It's listening to other people. It's listening to yourself. When I say do an evaluation, you are wise. You have been given wisdom by God. Listen to yourself. Listen. Look at the situation that you're in. Because the decision that you make with God and with the people you trust and what's going on in your heart, hear me clearly. This is where I want to be different than other churches. Doesn't always follow what we've been taught. doesn't necessarily look the same for each and every person. But I honor and I respect those decisions because they're made with this trust in God with your whole heart, leaning not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and He will make your path straight. And that's what we want to end with this morning. Submitting to God. We know that's a difficult thing to do. Is the Lord, is Jesus Christ really the King of our hearts? That's the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning. You know, because God is desiring to make a way for us. God is desiring to guide us upon a path of goodness, of wisdom. And He's making those paths straight, right? He's taking the lower places and He's raising them up and He's leveling out things. And when you're on a straight path, you know, you're in that moment where you know where you're supposed to go, right? You're following what God has laid out for you, right? The Lord wants to do that in our lives, but have we submitted our ways to Him? In all your ways, submit to the Lord, right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Again, we do it in pieces. We give God part of our life. Right? I'll give you this part, I'll give you that part. But have we given God? I keep talking about this and I wonder, how is it working for us? Have you given your career and your job to God? Have you submitted it to God? God can use you in such powerful ways to bring wisdom through your creativity, through your skill, you know, through what you study, through what you know, to bring life and flourishing and beauty. Amen, amen. Is anybody excited about that? I want to clap for you. I want to encourage you. God has gifted you in such a beautiful way, given you wisdom in so many ways to make life beautiful. Have you given that to God? One of the ways we do that is very simple but very powerful is what we're doing right now. Right now, we are gathering when? On the first day of the week, the first thing in the morning, because Jesus is King of my heart. That's why I come. That's why I come on the first day of the week, the first thing in the morning. And I encourage anyone to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Even if you're watching on Periscope, listening on the podcast later this week, what are you doing to say, you know what, God is first in my life. First in my life. That's why coming to church is kind of important, actually. You know, because I pray to God and I worship. And I sing these songs that remind me of God's love and God's faithfulness, right? And remind me that it's not all about me, but that it's about God and what He's doing, right? I need that correction. I need that mental shift. I need it more than once a week, amen? I need it often. Every day, if I'm honest, to put God first, you know? We do that by coming to church. And when we're here, what other opportunity do we get? Well, there's some wise men and women that could pray with us, that we could talk to, that we could fellowship with, right? There's people that remind us of God's love and God's faithfulness, that encourage us, that give us the strength that we need, right?
Amen.
And even what we do in worship, you know, we're going to collect an offering in a moment. Is Jesus the King of your finances, right? That's why we say, you know, we give an offering to God. You can give online. You can give here. In fact, this morning, we're going to pass it this morning. So ushers, we're going to do something different. We're going to pass the offering this morning. I'll tell you when we're going to do that. Because I want us to take a moment and think about it. Is Jesus the King of our heart? Is He the King of everything in our life? In all of our ways, have we submitted to God? In all of our ways. So that He might direct our paths. So I'm going to invite Paul to come up and play right now. I'm going to invite us into a time of prayer where we're going to listen. We're going to speak to God. And I just want us to wrestle with this question. Is Jesus Christ the King of your heart? I've got Him here. I'll let you know when to do Him. So just everyone relax for a minute. I got the offering pots. So I got Him, John. Don't worry about it. Relax. I'm going to invite everyone to pray. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, as we are men and women, children, adults who are seeking your wisdom, God. Spirit of God, would you please move upon us now in this moment? Would you breathe upon us in this space, God? In just a moment, we will sing to you, God, that you are the King of my heart. But I want to know, for how many of us will that be true this morning? Is Jesus the King of your heart? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Maybe that's your step this morning. Maybe you're here because this is your moment. You've been thinking about being a Christian. You've considered it, but you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you today to give your heart and to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's very simple. I call it the ABCs of becoming a Christian. A, you admit that you're a sinner, that you've messed up. B, you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And C, you commit to follow him with your life. It's kind of like the verse. You trust in God with all your heart and not on your own understanding, but in all your ways you submit to him and you let him direct your life. That kind of sums up what it means to be a Christian. That's why that was one of the first verses I memorized, and I encourage you to memorize it. Today, you will become a Christian if you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. Would you pray with me? And again, I know that some of you, this may not be your moment, but I never want to miss an opportunity if it is. If you need to become a Christian this morning, maybe we could say this together, because those of us who are Christians, we need to recommit, right? We need to remember that Jesus is the King of our heart. So if you're going to pray this for the first time, we're going to pray it with you as a way of recommitting our lives. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know I've messed up. I admit that I'm a sinner. Just everyone, pray, please forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I commit myself right now in this moment to follow you. You know, we sang another song, Search My Heart. Would you ask God to search your heart? Is there any part of your life, any way that you've not committed to him? Would you commit that to the Lord this morning? This is an important moment. Sometimes it's important to seal this moment. So if you made a decision today to become a Christian or to recommit your life, don't ask you to raise your hand, we're going to give you a card if you're concerned. And the only reason we do this is because this is a significant moment in your life. And so if it is for you this morning, this is the way for you to seal that commitment. Way for us to connect and pray with you. So raise your hand if you need to receive Christ this morning. If you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand. If you recommitted your life to Christ, just raise your hand. We're going to give you a card if you're not soon. Just write that down. This is the way to seal what God is doing, right? It's easy to say. It's easy to say to commit to God, but we need to take a step. We need to take just a small step. So go ahead and just raise your hand. John and Linda are there with the cards. They'll give you one this morning. It's a way of writing. There's also cards already around you, and those cards are an opportunity for prayer requests. So I'm going to invite the rest of you, anyone, grab one of those cards. If God is working in your heart right now, write down the prayer request. If you want to commit some part of your life to God this morning, if you're ready to make Jesus the King of your heart, would you write that down and let us pray for you? Let us encourage you. If there's any prayer request, if those cards are next to you, you can reach forward and grab one. You can reach to the side. This is a space right now to do this, a space to write down a prayer request, write down a commitment you're making to God, amen? Let's just continue to pray in this moment. Father God, we have sung that you are so good. You are so good to us. Lord God, I pray that you would release faith in this room to believe that you are that good. Lord, I pray that your love and faithfulness, oh, hallelujah, your love and faithfulness, would be bound around our necks, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bind each and every life here with your love and your faithfulness, God. That it would be a ring around their heart, that it would be a fire around their life, God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that love and faithfulness would be written on each and every heart here this morning, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Take just a moment, and in the quietness of your heart, just speak to God. Just listen to his spirit this morning.